I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of planet Earth, we're going to low Earth orbit, the ISS. Difficulties, anomalies. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. Bob, there is a question about another Russian module. What is the module and what is the question? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is on ISS, the Russians added a new full-size module, the first pretty much in decades, to the station, a year and a half ago? It's called Nauka. It's been almost a quarter century in construction, significantly delayed multiple times. They finally got it launched. And when it got launched, shortly after it was docked with ISS, its thrusters suddenly started firing out of the blue and actually flipped the station almost 90 degrees. They had to get those thrusters off and get the station back oriented properly. And it's been functioning. But now it is giving us a repeat performance of a coolant leak. This is the third time in less than a year that a Russian spacecraft at ISS has developed a leak in its coolant system. The previous two was a Progress freighter and a Soyuz capsule. This is Nauka, the full-size module that's a permanent, you know, the other two were just coming up and down to ISS. This is a permanent module to ISS, and it's the most recent one the Russians have launched. It's only been up there about, 2 years at most. Now, this is a coolant in a radiator unit that was actually launched up to ISS in 2014. It's been up there for a long time. In 2012. You know, when Nauka was significantly delayed, the Russians got several components that are part of it that would sit outside the module itself up to the station and installed. And this radiator, basically the coolant system is inside the module, but then it connects to a radiator outside the module, which radiates the heat away, excess heat. And that's the radiator that's leaking. It is, the Russians say it's a backup system and the main unit is all functioning well, but other people like Anatoly Zak say that doesn't really make any sense, and we really do not know where this leak is at the moment. We found out about the leak because reporters were listening to Russian commentary with the astronauts. They were asking, can you look out the window to see if you have flakes floating about? Because if there was a leak, they would freeze and look like snow. And they did. They saw flakes. So there is a leak going on here. Oh, this is just, you know. And Russia's going to build its own space station in a couple of years, right? Yeah, well, I believe that one. I got a bridge to sell you, Sean.
Italy is an economy that is dominated by manufacturing, especially precise engineering, has been that way for a couple of centuries. And it is not a risk taker. This is an economy that depends a great deal on the industry, the industriousness of their peoples. And therefore, I find this significant that Italy's biggest bank is an investor in SpaceX. Bob, is this the first time we can imagine a state bank like this? I don't remember. I remember sovereign funds, but I don't remember a state bank.
You know, the investors in SpaceX, they've given SpaceX close to $11 billion in investment capital. We don't know most of the names of those. They're kept very close to the vest. It's private investment capital. It's a closed corporation. SpaceX is not open stock purchases. But Italy's largest bank, Intesa Sanpaolo, has announced this week that it is joining SpaceX as a private investment partner. No details of the deal were released, but it adds clearly some more to that $11 billion in investment capital, and it really contrasts significantly the difference between the government and private enterprise in their view of SpaceX. Private investment community sees real value and large future profits from SpaceX and Elon Musk, and that's why they've been willing to commit almost $11 billion in capital in Starship and Starlink. But the government, the federal government in the United States, they, no matter how successful SpaceX is, they're doing everything they can to squash it, to kill it, to destroy it, which is really interesting. I got two other stories, John. Another lawsuit has been filed against SpaceX, this time by a female engineer who complained that she didn't like the salary she got. It's a really absurd lawsuit, but it's we don't know. She wasn't earning that much money, so where she got the money for this lawsuit, I suspect, comes from the full court press going on the left against Elon Musk. I should point out that now the number of lawsuits against Musk and SpaceX and Musk's companies, not just SpaceX, is getting to be quite large. Besides this new suit, another group of environmentalists are suing SpaceX and the FAA to block future losses of launches at Boca Chica. The Biden administration is not only suing Musk with its Justice Department, claiming they are not illegally hiring illegal immigrants. They're supposed to hire illegal immigrants. The FAA and Fish and Wildlife are blocking Super Heavy Starship launches out of Boca Chica. And the EEOC is suing Tesla while Justice and the SEC investigate it. And meanwhile, the FTC and SEC are investigating Musk's purchase of the Twitter. It's very clear that while the investment community sees future profits, success, and prosperity coming from SpaceX, the Biden administration, the federal government, is doing everything it can to squelch that prosperity and success, John. And another example of that is an FAA released a ridiculous report about 2 weeks ago stating that by 2035, satellites in the satellite constellations in orbit were going to kill somebody by hitting an airplane once every 2 years. It's a totally ridiculous report, but it was ammunition to maybe do more restrictive regulation against companies like SpaceX. SpaceX has responded by saying this report is absurd, which it is, and we'll see how that plays out. Nonetheless, the administrative state is out to get private enterprise.
I mentioned the lawsuit about the salary. The salary is $95,000 a year. I mentioned that is, we're not talking about scraping along with a part-time job. We move to other stories that have more compelling circumstances. This is Bezos's Blue Origin and Bezos's Amazon getting in the game in a fashion that seems imitative, but it's always good to have another commercial enterprise up in space. What is the Kuiper satellite, Bob?
I pronounce it Kuiper. I don't know which is right, John. It's named after the scientist Kuiper, a planetary scientist. But Amazon proposed at the exact same time, about a decade ago, to build a giant constellation of satellites like Starlink, at the exact same time Starlink was proposed, that would provide broadband service globally. They proposed it at exactly the same time. SpaceX has now launched something like 2,000-some-odd satellites, maybe more than that. There's about 1,500 in orbit right now operating. They have something like a million customers using Starlink, including John Batchelor. They're making money off it. It's one of the reasons the investment community is committed to them. Amazon, which proposed its system at the same time, finally, last week, launched its first two Kuiper satellites. These are prototype satellites. They're not even the operational ones. The first two prototype satellites were launched by ULA's Atlas V rocket. These satellites were supposed to originally be launched on ULA's Vulcan rocket, but because Blue Origin, another Bezos company, was so slow in delivering the BE-4 rocket engines the Vulcan needed, ULA switched to an Atlas V to launch these two prototype satellites. They got them in orbit. They're testing them. Hopefully they'll be operated, they'll work, and maybe we'll start to see a second constellation up in broadband for the world.
And that's good for pricing, Bob. We like competition.
Yes.
OneWeb's up there now.
Absolutely.
They focus on small business, on businesses, not on individuals. So I welcome the competition. We move to a startup. It looks like a startup. Private investments, capital, $100 million. What is Stoke Space?
Stoke Space is a rocket startup company that is developing a very radical new engine idea for its rockets. And the concept is such that they think it will make it possible for them to not only reuse the first stage, but reuse the upper stage, which means they will be making the first small sat rocket capable of entirely being reused. Right now, the only rocket under development that could be entirely be reused is SpaceX's Starship Super Heavy, but that's a giant rocket. This is a small sat rocket, smaller. And so Stoke Space, the design concept is, instead of having a single nozzle in the center, very big, that needs to be protected somehow, they're developing a ring of small nozzles around the outside perimeter of the rocket. And it's complicated. I'm not going to get into all the engineering, but they think this is a better idea. And they've actually done one hop test of this, of a prototype upper stage. And so with that successful hop, they raised $100 million in private investment capital. And they're now moving to trying to develop their first stage at the same time.
Another startup, this one in Spain, and they've had a test that looks successful. What did they do?
They had planned, and they've tried twice before, but first there was a launch abort, and then they had the second time there were high winds, so they had to wait till the wildfire season ended at their spaceport in Spain. And so finally, over the past weekend, they successfully launched their Mayura 1 prototype suborbital rocket. This is a test rocket for figuring out how to do launch procedures and how to build a rocket. It was not intended to go into orbit, but what they learned from it was a successful launch, but they learned from it will be applied to the building of their orbital rocket, Mayura 5. And this is a Spanish rocket startup, and they're now ahead of every other rocket startup in Europe, and there's a bunch, all of whom, in competition with each other, are likely going to replace the government-run Ariane Space operation that pretty much has failed to provide any profits to the European Space Agency and presently can launch nothing, pretty much, John. That's the good news with PLD.
The Spanish startup now followed by Aerojet Rocketdyne. It's been a while since we talked about them, Bob. Is Aerojet Rocketdyne part of the old regime or part of the new regime in space?
Aerojet Rocketdyne has been around since the 50s. It's been merged in multiple ways and reconfigured. It actually now doesn't exist in a sense anymore. Aerojet Rocketdyne was purchased by the larger company L3 Harris over the summer, and it's being absorbed into that company. But in the process, Aerojet Rocketdyne has been building power units for a lot of satellites that are in orbit right now, and they appear to be chronically failing, or at least having serious problems. These satellites are going to have shortened lifespans because of it, and some of them will be able to file insurance claims because of the loss of lifespan. L3 Harris, that bought Aerojet Rocketdyne, has to face that this company has serious quality control problems and construction problems. It has not been getting many customers in recent years, even though it builds really good rocket engines. But those rocket engines are gold-plated and very expensive, and now it appears there's other quality control problems in the division. And now, so L3 Harris is going to have to figure that out and aggressively try to straighten that problem out, John.
Azerbaijan cooperating with China's lunar-based project as the competition for Artemis. Bob notes that I've traveled to Azerbaijan many times over these years and am in close contact with their representatives. I visited the Azerbaijan satellite launch. It's a startup in one of the buildings in Baku, the capital. And they have, I believe, two satellites in orbit, and they lease space of those satellites to countries in their part of the world, chiefly for exploration of extractive services or water management or mapping. And now they're looking to link to China. They don't have, to my knowledge, a booster component. They just have the satellite component, but they're looking to get involved in space exploration. And this strikes me as a very most positive, except for the China piece, and I can't solve that. But that is their neighborhood. They're Eurasia.
Yes, they've signed a deal. No details have been released, but they've signed a deal with China to cooperate and partner with China on its lunar-based project. Now, right now, China has very few partners in this, though they've been pushing very hard to get additional partners. They have Russia, though Russia might not be able to accomplish much for them. In fact, they have left Russia out of most of China's press releases about this project recently, as if they've given up on Russia. But they've signed South Africa and Venezuela and now Azerbaijan, which really aren't have any space capabilities, so they're not going to be able to do much except maybe get some good PR and some help from China, and therefore help China will help have control over these countries. So that's the deal. I don't know where it'll go, but they've signed it, John.
21st century stuff. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batt.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.